Welcome to All About TRH, aka All About the Truth. Today we interview the most talked about trader, Dan Giesling, and he doesn't hold back. Dan talks strategy, why he gave Phaedra Park's name up, roundtable drama, plus more.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Roxanne Chantel, so happy to be here.
Yes, we're so excited to have you. So
are you sure? I know you guys are big Bravo fans. Like, yes. I'm like, I know I'm crossing the line and I'm really taking some bullets here.
Here's the thing. If I wasn't a Big Brother fan, then you would have really like irked me this season. But yeah.
No, tell me why. Like, can you explain why? Because like to people that are Bravo only, like you watch a show and like I come off schmarmy. Like I get it. You know?
Yeah. No, it's not that. I think the biggest thing that you did on the traders was go against Phaedra when you had poverty.
Yeah.
So for us Bravo fans, we're very, you know, protective. Loyal. Mm-hmm. But on Big Brother, like you just came out as like this brilliant person. But I still think you did really well on traders. I do. But like I was such a fan of you on Big Brother, so I was so excited to like see that you were going to be on the show. So we asked a lot of people to ask you questions and they're really pissed off at you.
Yeah.
I edited the question, I had to take out words and stuff. I'm scared.
Well, I get it. And like, I don't take any of this personal because the way I look at it is like, okay, Bravo people, this may be their first time watching a reality TV show that is competition based, and this is definitely maybe the first time they're watching a reality TV competition show with their favorite housewives on it. So to me, it's like an NFL game. Like yes. If someone's going after their favorite, like I get it. So I don't take it personal, but I will say this before we get to the questions. Okay. Like I thought the Big Brother fandom was intense.
Yeah.
Like Bravo fans, like I have nothing but respect. Your passion is second to none.
Yeah, you have no idea. Well, before we get into like what you did on the show, can you talk to us about casting? Like, did you seek out the show? Did someone ask you to be a part of it?
No. Yeah. So probably about once a year, maybe every other year, I get pitched to go on a competition show. It's always like, no, like I feel like I have the best of both worlds. Like I really love playing these games, but like I have a normal life, you know, so yeah. This is not part of my life. I actually got an email to go on Traders season one. I'm like, I read the email. I'm like, delete. I'm like, no, I'm just because I didn't know what it was, you know? And then, so they reached out. It's a super long story short. I live stream on Twitch and I have a cell phone number that I give out so people can text me. So I'm like, hey, text me 313. I don't want to say it now. Anyway, I don't have Bravo people to text me. So I'm like, I'm live streaming, reading these text messages and I get one. It's like, hey, this is so-and-so from casting. I've been trying to reach you. I'm like, haha, funny guys. Like you're pranking me. And then I'm like, Googling who it is, I'm like, oh, let me check my email. And I had two offers to go on the show with two different numbers, like dollar amounts, but they were both in my spam inbox. So if I never checked my text message, I never would have got on the show.
Just, wow. You
know, I know.
Why'd you say no to season one? Just because like it hasn't, you didn't know what would happen, where it would air?
Yeah, like I get, you know, I've been pitched to go on a lot of first shows. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I don't know who the producers are. I don't know the network. I don't know if it's like a bait and switch, right? Like, hey, here's what we're telling you the show's like. Oh, wait a second. You're here and there's like your ex-girlfriend there or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I didn't know. And so for most of the time, I always turn it down. But after watching the first season, I'm like, man, this is an incredible show. It just looks different. It feels different.
Yeah.
And to me, it was always about the game. Yeah, there's like fighting and like people not getting along, but it's about the game. It's not about two people not liking each other.
Right.
Did you, so you watched the Traitors season one before you even said yes to going on to season two or right before?
No, well, the Traitors season one came out and I didn't really watch it. And then halfway through my mom's like, you have to watch this show. You have to watch this show, but you have to promise me you're not going to go on it.
And I'm like, wow.
And then I ended up watching it, really liked it, and thought it was cool and new because in the reality TV competition space, we just haven't seen anything new like this. It's always like a rehash or like Big Brother, but a little tougher, or a competition on another island. And this to me was new and cool. And so it was NBC and Peacock made it really easy to say yes.
Yeah. Well, I was curious why you never joined the challenge.
I mean,
Wait, why are you laughing?
Because, I mean, like, this is my, I'd never seen the challenge, but this is my, this is my take on it. It's like Big Brother with a ton of alcohol and people like physically fighting.
No, you know? it's not like that.
It's not like that.
It's more like
it used to be like that, but now it's like really competition. So I'm always shocked like someone like you doesn't join it.
But see, but it's not mental competitions, right? Like
a little bit.
It actually is. A lot of people that you wouldn't think like would do well on the show, not saying that you wouldn't or anything, but let's say you're not into something like that, they do well because like it's a mental thing. So that's why I'm always like, why wouldn't someone like him, like you're like an iconic name, you know, everyone like you're the face of Big Brother. So I was always shocked that you didn't do that.
No, I mean, like my impression of the show, all the clips I've seen is like two dudes wearing like those black helmets and just ramming each other. I'm like,
they're just good.
I'm like, I'm good.
Well, you do need to be a little bit physical. So you do need to have like, you need to be a little bit strong to like, to get into eliminations.
Yeah, I'm athletic, but I'm not like brute strength. You know, like I'll be able to dodge people, but I'm not going to tackle someone. Not at my age anymore.
Yeah, of course. Well, so now that you're watching the show back with you on it, what is one thing you would have done differently?
I really mean this. I wouldn't do anything differently because I remember every night, like, going in and being like, this is the information I have. This is the gut decisions I'm making. This is the instinct I'm going off of. So let me do the best I can with that, right? So like, I wouldn't change anything in the moment. After the fact, like now that you know people's confessionals, all the different, like you have all the answers, right? Yeah. So I mean, clearly there's a ton I would do different now. Like, so let's play like, okay, I could play the perfect game. One of the things is it just in these games, I start really slow. If you look at Big Brother, I take time and I get to know everyone. So I could tell you stuff about Phaedra, CT. Like I got to know everyone individually because that's what I do in Big Brother. I build that trust and then we start talking strategy. It wasn't the right game for it. Like, so what would I do different? I would play a lot faster. I would pick a couple people I trust and then start forming and making moves. I never got to that point in the game. The other thing I didn't do, and I didn't even consider it because it was a lot tougher than I thought. I didn't think of how to play, like, what do I look like as a faithful? I was more just like, hey, let me figure out these six moves to make and then not get caught being a traitor. You know,
Were you shocked that you got picked to be a traitor?
I was happy. Yeah. I didn't want to not, you know, I haven't been on TV in over a decade. I'm like, I didn't want to come and sit on the sidelines, but I didn't know, you know, I met with the producers and I'm like, hey, I would really like to be a traitor. Like, we can't promise you anything. Then the head of NBC and the head of the production studio came in my hotel and they're like, do you want to be a faithful or a traitor? I'm like, gave this pitch on why I want to be a traitor. They're laughing. I'm like, so I'm a traitor. And like, we can't promise you anything. So I'm sitting at that table and I feel Alan walk by and not tap me. And I'm just like, what the heck? You know, like, so I was like, I was really excited to be a traitor.
Did you know everyone when you did you know where everyone was from while walking in, or was it like a lot of like unfamiliar faces?
I recognized most people. You know, I figured Peter was the bachelor just because he's like a super, you know, he's a great looking guy, great personality. I didn't know Kevin. The shock for me, like the true shock, because a bunch of stuff leaked while we were in the hotel.
Yeah, okay.
So I was like, I remember seeing this post and it was like a bunch of emojis of the people in there. And one of them was a boxing glove. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then when I saw Deontay Wilder, I was like freaking out and I'm like kind of fanboying out because most people didn't know who he was. And this is the analogy I give.
No, we didn't know who he was.
Yeah, if this were the traitors in the 1990s, that's Mike freaking Tyson right there.
Oh, wow.
You know, and like people didn't understand like how big of a deal it was to have him there. I certainly did. This dude loses a fight and he makes $30 million. So why is he here, you know, competing for $250,000? I loved it. It was like, to me, like I was a kid in a candy store. It was so cool just to hang out with him.
Did you, did he tell you guys that he was leaving? Did he ever say the goodbye? Because they never showed that on the episode. So we all like were left like, oh, okay, he's not there anymore.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I really respected how NBC and Peacock handled that because it was kind of like, it was handled how it needed to be. It was kind of like a personal thing for him. And I love that, like, it kind of just remained like that. Like, it didn't need to be a big part of the show. And I think everyone was super fond of Deontay and was glad to see that's how it was played out.
Good.
But do you think they should have said something at all? Like
They did say one, like they said one thing, and if you like blinked, you didn't hear it. Like the it's like Deontay's, yeah, it's like if you didn't, if you weren't paying attention, Alan said something, and my wife's like, "Where did Deontay go?" I'm like, I don't know. Did they say anything about it? And like he said a really quick line.
Okay. Well, so
ladies, did you know that one of the most common complaints from women about their sexual health is a frustrating low libido? Our sex drive can decline, but it's also treatable. Addy or flibanserin is FDA approved and has been clinically proven to increase sexual desire in certain premenopausal women who are bothered by a low libido. So if you feel like you've lost your desire and want to get it back, stop falling for the snake oils and ask your doctor about Addy today or go to Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
Addy is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. The low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in men or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is also increased if you take certain prescriptions, over-the-counter or herbal medications, or have liver problems. Low blood pressure and fainting can happen when you take Addy, even if you don't drink alcohol or take other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of the ingredients in Addy. Allergic reactions may include hives, itching or trouble breathing, sleepiness, sometimes serious, can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including box warning at Addy.com/PI or call 844-PINK-PILL.
Ask your doctor about Addy today or go to Addy.com. That's ADDYI.com.
You constantly got feedback that you were too quiet.
Yeah.
Why didn't you change your tone knowing that they're saying this is the red flag about you and you continue to be like that?
Yeah. Episodes? Yeah. Part of it is that's my personality, right? So like you have to understand this is not my livelihood. And so there's a lot of people there who like they're great at being the star. I'm cool with being like the co-star or the number two because I'm never gonna be the person, like if five people are talking, they're like da 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 da, I'm not gonna like interject myself. So that was part one. The second thing is like I wanted to build a persona of like not just throwing random stuff out there. So like when I talked, that there was like maybe a little bit more not respect, but like credence, like, oh, Dan's talking now, he must have something. So, you know, that was kind of part of it. And also one of the things I just didn't see, and the narrative spun really quickly. Like, I never thought that just being quiet would mean you're a traitor, because it's like, well, like just because you don't talk as much, that means you're a traitor. But that's, I give, you know, everyone in their credit. They took that narrative and ran with it because Sheree was really quiet.
Yeah.
You know, super quiet. But like no one thought she was a traitor. But also that narrative wasn't like really spun. So I give them credit for the people.
But I think it's your reputation too, like who you are, how you won Big Brother. So of course, like, you know, they're expecting you to.
And that's the thing though, Roxanne, no one knew who I was. My greatest fear was I got there and people were like, all right, he's gone, because we know what you can do. Janelle knew, Sandra knew, Parvati didn't know, Peppermint knew. And no one really cared or knew until Janelle blew me up. Yeah, that's when really becoming quiet was like, okay, that's the dagger in my heart, because no one really cared or knew about it.
Do you think you should have recruited Janelle as a traitor?
I never thought I had to, because it'd be like, Roxanne, if I saw you, I'd be like this, like, we're good. You know, yeah. There's a history. I just never expected her to come after me. And when she did, it really stunned me, because aww. I felt like she knew if I was a traitor, there's no way I'm murdering her in any situation. If her name comes up, like, she's not going to have to worry about it. It's just kind of like that, you know, we're from the same family, but also beyond that, like, we're friends. Like, she's one of the few people from Big Brother that I actually speak to. So yeah. It's kind of like, you got to know, like, I'm not coming after you, but also I understand, like, that was her play and she had to do what she had to do.
Have you guys talked since?
Yeah.
No, we're totally like, the second it was like over, I'm like, it's cool. And that's been the adjustment for me coming from these games where it's like someone makes a move against you. I'm not making fun of people. I'm not ripping on people. I'm not insulting people. So I'm like, when it's over, I'm like, it's cool. Like, you voted me out. Like, awesome. Like, great move. Like, Peter, like, duped me. Like, I love that. Like, good move, man. But for me, I didn't expect, like, the people who are not used to playing competition shows, I think, are taking it a different way, which I understand because it's probably a different experience for them.
Yeah,
right. For sure. Who do you think is playing the game the best right now?
Up until this point, and I think if I can't, I think up until this point, I think Peter's played a really amazing game, like doing a lot. And I know some people are getting annoyed with him online because he's think he's doing too much. And I think at this round table, you see a little bit like people are starting to distrust him. But I love that he's as a faithful, it's so hard to stay alive. And here he's like the number one faithful, the leader of him. And yet he's still here. He should have been picked off or murdered 100 times prior. And he's doing all these little things that I think have helped him survive. But I think you're starting to see some faithful are like starting to be sketched out by it too.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you surprised that they haven't murdered him yet? Or do you think it's smart on them?
No, I mean, like, I think Phaedra was really smart. She said this. I don't know if she's going to act on it. She said, if you take out the leader, the sheep are going to scatter. And that's the truth. You know, like, if you get rid of Peter, that whole group fractures. Whether or not it happens, we'll have to see. But I just, I really like what he's doing. Like, he's there's a few people I think are actively playing the strategy side of the game and are good at it. I think there's some people who are actively good at the, like, what I call the hand-to-hand combat. I think Phaedra's incredible at deflecting at the table, dispelling things. Like, she's really good at that. As far as the strategy, I don't feel like that's her strong suit.
Yeah.
And you know what? She trusted you guys in the beginning to like lead the team. She's like, whatever you guys want, I'll do. And she's like, cause she knew what she would have done on the side.
Yeah. And I think I really underestimated how much she trusted me because I think she's been really hurt by that move. And you know, in one way or another, I haven't talked to her, but you know, I think you're right. I think she did lean on us for that. And you know, I can understand why she's probably not happy.
Did you underestimate all the housewives like going into this?
1000%. You know, the one that I'd say, like, I really connected with Tamara and I really, really liked Sheree. Like, Sheree's from the Midwest, so we kind of connected on that.
Yep.
But Tamara and I spent a lot of time and like we really connected and started to develop this trust. And then that was one of the, you know, I have like a list of like 12 things I would have done different. And I let that one kind of get away. Like, I didn't want to murder Tamara. That was like a Phaedra move.
Okay.
And like, that was like I really, in hindsight, I didn't want to lose Tamara. And that ended up hurting in the long run. Cause I think she would have turned against, you know, the Bravo crew, or at least would have considered it. Where you're seeing right now, MJ,
MJ, sure.
Sheree, like they're not turning. Like, it's just not happening.
Yeah. So people thought you immediately went after Phaedra once you got Parvati. Why did you go against her? Do you feel like you did?
Yeah, I saw her position in the game, and to me, this is all game. She was well liked. No one suspected her. She was quiet at the table, really didn't have to say or do because of the relationship she built with everyone, not just the Bravo people, which is a whole different thing. Like, she's locked in with the Bravo people. She's doing a great job with the non-Bravo people. I'm like, this is called the traitors. Like, at some point, a traitor has to go. And I really 100% trusted Parvati and vice versa. And my concern was being at the end of this game, because Roxanne, you watch Big Brother, you know how this is. I think I'm thinking all the way to the end.
Right.
I saw myself at this end game fire with Phaedra and a couple Bravo people. And Phaedra looks to the Bravo people and just gives me the hook. Mm. And I didn't want that to be the end. Like, I'm playing this thing to win. And to me, Phaedra was in the way of winning. I just didn't see her going. And my thought was, if I can get her out, like, Dan's been quiet this whole game. If Dan the Faithful can say, here's my shot, I'm taking it, let's get Phaedra out, all of a sudden the Faithful now trust me and I'm good to slide to the end of the game. Didn't work out like that, but
I thought you were going to pull a Big Brother. I don't know what, if it was the second season, I don't know, but remember when you were in that room and then you came and all of a sudden, I was pregnant as hell during this. So I don't, you know, my memory is like not that great about it, but you completely changed all their minds. So I thought that's what was going to happen here.
And me too.
Was your heart beating so fast during that?
It was so, for me, this is so uncomfortable. Cause in Big Brother, like, it's like you're puppeteering. Here, it's like you're defending yourself. And right away, when Kate got put into the game, I'm like, this game just got really hard because her BS meter, like if she sees something that's not right, she doesn't think about it, process it. Then should I say something? She'll say something right away.
Yep.
So when I started this, you know, what I normally do that always works, and she was the first one to pipe up and like kind of chime in and help Phaedra. I'm like, this isn't happening before. I don't, what do I do now that the big move didn't work?
Yeah.
That was the, probably the most iconic part of the whole like series so far. It's just like that round table between you and Phaedra. It was amazing.
Yeah. And like, I have no problem like getting shredded by Phaedra. I think it made good TV. I tried to make a big move. I think if it works, like I'm in great shape. But it didn't, and you still got good TV, and you know, Phaedra, you know, is the star of the show. I don't think anyone would argue that.
Our listener asked, so why did you decide to give the faithful a bone by giving Phaedra's name when you knew you were going to be eliminated?
Well, that's the thing. I never go in and think I'm going to be eliminated. Like, you saw me in Big Brother. Like, everyone wants me out. There's no chance. I'm never giving up. So in my mind, entering that round table, I'm not leaving. You know, like, I know I'm in trouble, but I'm not like, let me leave and let me pull down Phaedra with me. And I think that's what Bravo people may be used to seeing is like pettiness. Like if I'm done, I'm done. I'm not trying to like pull someone down with me. My path to victory was through Phaedra and it just didn't work.
But if people suspected Parvati, why wouldn't you throw her name during the round table?
Great question. So for me, if I throw Parvati, name out, she's my number one ally who I trust 1,000%. You have to remember, I won Big Brother by picking one person each time, and I'm like, I'm all in. And if this bites me in the ass, then it bites me in the ass. So I didn't want to do that. And two, if I turn on her, I'm next, right? Like, right. I give up Parvati. Everyone already thought it was Parvati. So it's just kind of like, it was kind of like a limp move. And then I just know I'm the next traitor picked off. If I get Phaedra out, then it's like, but we didn't see this coming. Like, Dan, you know, let's listen to Dan on the next one. And then, you know, I felt like I might have had a better handle on the game and built up more social credit with the faithful.
Well, why do you trust Parvati so much? I'm confused by this.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Part of it is I, from a couple standpoints, one, and this isn't, I mean, we spent time in transport. So they had, when you're filming the first episode, there's a lot of time you spend with a few people in this car. You can't talk about the game, like, so like basically if there's no cameras on, you can't talk about the game because then that footage can't be used. And so we never talked about it, but it was me, Tamara, and Ek and Sue in the car. So those people I got really close with because that's my personality, right? Like more developing relationships. So I trusted her from that standpoint because we spent a lot of time, and because she went in to me like she's kind of like, I looked at her like she plays Survivor like I play Big Brother. She's cutthroat. She's a killer. She's smart strategically. And I'm like, I need someone like that, especially when I got to the turret and I'm like throwing ideas out at Phaedra. And she's just kind of like not, giving me much. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I trusted her where I didn't feel like she was going to turn on me. And I knew she was going to bring some strategy to help me. So I didn't have to do this thing alone. And so that's like, it was definitely the downfall, but you know, I just didn't feel I could play this game without trusting someone implicitly. And I didn't want to throw her to the wolves because I just thought that bought me a day. It didn't change me not winning, you know?
Right.
That makes sense. Do you think it was smart for Phaedra to pick Kate to be part of the traitor, or would you have done that if you were Phaedra?
I mean, I think because it's an ultimatum, I think basically you're forcing the person to become a traitor. There's no way you're bringing someone there and be like, no, I'm not going to be a traitor, right? Because if they don't become a traitor, they have to leave the game. I'm taking Peter because like he's in heat, but also like I just feel like Kate, I think it makes for great television having Kate there, but I just think Peter was the move because
but he turned you down the first time. You don't think he would have left the show and just gotten murdered?
I mean, if you like, you would you, if you, let me ask you, Roxanne, if you were given an ultimatum, become a traitor or leave the show and leave your chance of winning $250,000, what are you going to do?
No, yeah, I would have became a traitor the first time. So,
but that's what I mean. Like, if you're forcing, you're literally forcing Peter's hand. And then, you know.
Do we think John would have went home instead of being a traitor?
Maybe, because I think I talked to him. It's like really important to him as a politician not to be seen in that role. And I think, you know, and one of the things you don't see about John is that at the round table, this dude would talk for 20, 30 minutes on one speech. And so, I mean, so you're starting to get glimpses of that, but he's such a cool dude. It was cool to have him there.
Yeah. Can you tell us anything about how your sleep was in the hotel? I mean, castle.
Yeah, I slept in the castle. So I was actually pretty fortunate. I got like one of the higher up rooms, like right next to the turret. So it was like a shorter walk for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that was nice. You guys didn't hear each other or anything?
No, there's like a lot of sound machines and there's bodyguards at everyone's door.
Okay. We asked Bergie that.
Yeah.
He was like, he didn't have that smooth of an answer though. He was like, oh, I can't talk about that. Is there anyone that you think isn't playing a smart game?
I'm just trying to see, to me, like, not smart is actively exposing yourself. And I'm just trying to think, like, I'm thinking around the table of who's left. I think what you're starting to see, I think there's a first half of the game and a second half of the game. First half of the game is you just got to get through it. There's so many bodies there. You're like, clear these people out. I think the second half is really you've seen two alliances form. And I think the people that are, I really think the people that are sticking to their alliances are smart until there's one alliance is left, and then you have to turn on each other, and then we'll see. You know, I'm just trying to think of any missteps that I've seen. I really don't. Even like I look at Trishel. Trishel's being very vocal at these roundtables, in particular at Phaedra. I think that's smart because then if she gets murdered, then it's like, well, it's because she went after you. You know what I mean? So being loud as a faithful kind of helps you because then you become too obvious of a murder.
Right. I remember the first season, there was a guy, though, that was so loud that they started catching on. So it's like, you don't really know what to do.
You're telling me. I was trying to figure it out on the fly. I know.
He was like a lot. And then they all started catching on. It was like, you know, what the heck? But the one thing about Phaedra is the breakfast scenes where she acts like, oh, I'm hungry, or, oh, like, let me grab this. And I'm just shocked no one's caught on to that. I mean, I think someone's mentioned it, but I feel like that's such like a sus thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you really, there's not much to go on. So it really becomes how well can you spin a narrative? And that's why I love the competition with the crossbow, because now you have something in front of everyone. Well, so-and-so targeted CT, so-and-so targeted Trishel. Then at least there's like a concrete move. Everything else is, oh, he's too quiet, or he's too loud, or he looked at me the wrong way, or she eats breakfast too much, you know? Yeah. So it's like, and so, and part of it, that's the fun of it, is like how good of a story can you tell to get someone out?
Can you tell us how Ekansu didn't realize she got poisoned? I'm so confused.
I didn't know either. It happened right behind me. Like, I don't know. I mean, they didn't tell. The funny thing to me about that was after Alan came in and told us at breakfast, like, hey, someone drank poison or someone was poisoned, no one sat back and was like, hey, did anyone hand you a drink? Did anyone hand you something to eat? Like, that was never discussed by anyone. And I was just sitting there being like, thank God no one talked about it. But that'd be the first thing I would do. It'd be like, hey, did anyone give you a cup to drink out of? Oh, who was that? There's your traitor, you know?
Yeah. Are you excited for the reunion? It's coming up.
It's coming up very soon. Am I excited for it?
Yeah.
I think I'm uncertain about it, but what I am certain is that I'm sure there's going to be a lot of bullets coming my way.
Yeah.
But this is all new for me, right? So I've never done a reunion show. And
Big Brother doesn't do it.
Big Brother, like, the show's over, you're gone. This whole thing's been new for me. I don't sit back and watch Big Brother, and now I'm like not forced to watch, but like you have to watch it, you know, to see what's going on. So
yeah. Do you think Johnny is going to say something to you guys for eliminating him for the first round?
I mean, I would imagine so. He's been pretty active on Twitter, so
that's the challenge. Yeah, like that's Johnny from the challenge.
He's you of the challenge, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like any moves that I made, like the people that I went after, it's like out of respect because you're going to be really tough to beat, or I don't think I can beat you. So let me get you out of the game, and. Right. And that's where the interesting thing's been for me is that, like, I'm not getting rid of anyone for personal reasons. It's strictly how do I get to the end and who is in my way that I know I can't move.
Yeah. What do you think about CT, by the way? He was like suspecting you. What do you think about him?
I think like I was surprised as CT as a person because I watched him as a kid, like rage and like, you know, like I don't, was he on Real World? Was he on Real World or
Yes.
Yeah, Real World? Like I remember seeing like, I remember like I had never seen him on Challenge or anything. I just remembered him from when I was a kid and I met him and he's like, I don't want to say softy's not the answer, but he's like a grown adult, you know, like has a life. And I really enjoyed being around him.
He's easy to get along with. Everyone can get along.
He's super cool.
Yeah,
super cool. I really liked him. And I think he's like, he's done a good job weaving and like not being too far above the radar, not too under it, being friends with everyone. I think he's playing a really slick game.
How old are your kids? Like, do they watch you on TV?
I have a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They don't watch. They'll ask, like, to watch. And, like, I'll show them, like, 2 minutes of a challenge. And then they get bored and be like, Dad, can I watch Bluey? I'm like, yeah. It's okay. We don't
watch this. Too young. Our listeners know that Dan and us, we live in the same state. So, yeah. I don't know if you care if people know where you live.
No, I don't care. No.
Don't tell anybody. Not to travel people. I did have a question I needed to ask before I forget. Do you think you should have played for more shields? Like that one game where you sat back to not go get shields and everyone's like, whoever sat back is a traitor. I mean, you played the game inside, but you didn't want to go and get shields. Do you think you should have played more for shields?
It was such a mad grab. Like people were really aggressive about like, I want to get a shield. And in hindsight, having one of the traders out in that field would have been tremendously beneficial. And I think that was a mistake because that's the move I made was to take a shot at like, oh, Bergie doesn't have the shield.
Yeah.
So having just the information, I think, is more important than actually getting the shield. But it was really, it became like, I don't want to say entitled is not the right word, but people really, really cared. Like, well, you got a shield last time. I've never got one, so I got to get out there. I'm like, so like, how much do you want to push that? You know, because I had won a shield already. And so like, I try to not cause too many waves. But having myself, Parvati, or Phaedra out there, I think probably changes the game a lot.
Did you reach out to Cody from season one and ask for any advice or anything?
I didn't. I'm.
You guys are cool.
Yeah, we're cool. Like we, you know, like I've talked to him like once or twice, but I don't know him like that. Okay. So no, I wish I would have.
Right. He would have given you something. He left a little bit. I think he was like the first trader to leave.
Yeah, we have a couple things in common.
I really wasn't expecting that with you though. I really, really didn't think that was gonna happen.
I mean, sometimes I'm shocked and sometimes I'm not. I'm like, how did I even make it this far? You know, it was hard. It was like hard to be like making sure people aren't on to you as a trader when someone would accuse you. What did you say? Like Larsa, within the first 15 minutes, she's like, you're not a traitor, are you? I'm just like, you got me. Like, you know, like I didn't know, I wasn't prepared for like people to be all over me right away.
Yeah.
But I was shocked that like you guys all somehow convinced that Larsa was a traitor. And like, it's like, she wouldn't have eliminated her own boyfriend. Like, and I don't know, unless they didn't show it on air. And I'm like, why isn't she like pleading her case? Like, I'd be screaming it. Like, I wouldn't eliminate my boyfriend. Like, I'd be going crazy. So
that was such a good one because then we didn't have to use a murder on her. I'm like, we got to, like, she was on me. I'm like, we got to get her out of here. So to have her, like, have everyone else get rid of her, I'm like, I was feeling good at that point. I was feeling good.
Did you guys do anything fun, like, outside of it? Did you guys get any free time?
No. So unless you're banished or murdered, like, I had, like, not even half a day. Like I got fish and chips once, but it's like pretty much like it's a job. Like Big Brother to me was like life. Like I'm all in. This was like a really fun job. One of the things that someone said, which made a lot of sense, this was like a show first and a game second. Yeah. You know, and it was fun. It was really cool.
Yeah. I think they're going to bring you back next season, by the way. Just like when they brought Kate back, I feel like you and Phaedra, they would bring you back for something. So would you go back?
At this point right now, I feel like this was like, I had such a great time on Big Brother, had a great experience. this was like the cherry on top of the reality TV Sunday for me. Like, I don't know how it gets better than this. It was so, it was awesome. But Peacock and this show and NBC made it so easy to say yes. Like, I could call my kids. I could call my wife. It wasn't 90 days like Big Brother.
Yeah.
And I really like the game. You know, I think it would be interesting to have myself and Phaedra in there again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think you need to call her up though. Oh, well, you're going to see her at the reunion and she is going to, what do you think about her? Like one-liners and stuff.
I think she's incredible television, like incredible, incredible television. Yeah. I think she's the star of the show. But with that being said, like I'm fully expecting for her to come after me with everything at the reunion.
Yeah. All the housewives, even Larsa, she's coming after you.
Yeah. Well, honestly, thank you so much. That's all the questions we have for you. And we know you're so busy. So thank you so much for actually doing this.
No, thanks for being so patient. Thanks for having me on. And hopefully, like now that the Bravo side sees, like, I'm not like, hopefully I gave you my understanding of why I went after your favorite. Yeah. But even though I went after your favorite, she still beat me, so you should still be happy, you know?
Exactly.
Give him love, you guys. Give him love. And he was great on Big Brother, so watch that back. But thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Bye. Bye.